We have been teaching a series on the power of the cross. And we touch on the fact that when we give ourselves to Jesus and surrender to Him, through the power of the cross, those things that we cannot control, He takes control. Because in life, there are some things you can control, there's some things you can't control. They're beyond your sphere of control. Whenever we surrender our lives, He takes control of those things that are beyond us. And so this is the second part on touching on the power of the cross. And we want to look at some scriptures here, first of all, in the book of Romans chapter 6. The book of Romans chapter 6. See why it's so important to have this understanding of what happens on the cross of Calvary. In Romans chapter 6 verse 11, Paul, after mentioning different things and mentioning different things in the Lord about what Christ has done for us on the cross, says here in verse 11, likewise, you also, he concludes, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And obviously this one little verse is powerful because it says, it's only when we reckon ourselves dead unto Christ and alive, dead unto sin and alive to God, that we have authority and power to live the Christian life the way we want. And when we have learned what it is to die and die in Christ on the cross, then we learn what it is to live in Christ. The process is not reversed. You cannot reckon yourself as alive to God and then try to die. You have to reckon yourself dead in Christ, crucified on the cross with Jesus, before we can experience the aliveness of His power in us. One follows the other. Now, another little scripture that I like to read is the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. About some of the things that had taken place at the cross of Calvary, which we probably just taste a little bit of a measure of what has happened on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, Paul says here, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So it says that Christ on the cross became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's a powerful transaction. When you have the righteousness of God in Christ, you can function on the earth the way Jesus functioned. That's why Jesus says all the works He did, we can do also. Obviously, if we are not doing all the works of Jesus, nor have all the understanding of Jesus, then we have not fully comprehend or experience the fullness of these words. And we realize that in the body of Christ, with so much imperfection, and so much imperfection of people, some are still living in sin, some have sinful thoughts, some have sinful motives, although they may not act out their sin, some have sinful lips, and all kinds of sins still present in the body of Christ. We realize that until Jesus is able to cleanse the body of Christ, until the body of Christ is without spot and wrinkle, then only He can come. Now obviously, unless we have a full understanding of what it is to become the righteousness of God in Christ, we can never be perfected. Because if you try to overcome sin in your own life, you try to overcome wrong thoughts in your own life with your own strength, you try to overcome the things of the flesh in your own life with your own strength, you're no better than the Old Testament saints. Because that's what they have been trying to do, and they have not succeeded. And if they have not succeeded for so long with the law, how can we succeed? Obviously, We were not meant to overcome by our own strength. We were not meant to wrestle in the spiritual realm in our own, with our own effort, understanding, whether by your willpower, mental power, or by your own physical discipline or perseverance. Obviously, all those things are good, but it's not enough. It will not bring us to the measure of the fullness of Christ. What's the key then? Well, in Romans chapter 6 verse 11 that we read just now, where it says, likewise ye also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin and alive unto God. It uses the English word reckon. Some of your translation put the word consider yourself dead in Christ. Reckon. What a word. Now, question is, how do we reckon ourselves dead? What does it mean by reckon? And when you read that verse, the first thing that occurs in your life is reckon. Reckon is a word that is used in normal English for a mental state of thinking. You reckon some things. You reckon. And consider is another translation. So it looks like a mental process when you read it. Like mentally. That's what most Christians read verse 11 of Romans 6 and says they mentally reckon, they mentally consider themselves dead in Christ. However, that doesn't work. It has to be something beyond mental. The Greek word for the word reckon is the Greek word logisomai. Logisomai has nothing to do with the mental state of being. It includes the mental state of being, of course, in a sense, indirectly. But it has more than just a mental state of being. Christianity is not wrestled through the mind. Because if that's true, it will be an unfair thing on this earth. Because each person has different mental abilities. And some people may have less mental abilities, but they have more physical abilities. So, you give and take. But it cannot be. It cannot be such an unfair system. Logisomai is not a mental state of being. And in fact, that word logisomai is used most frequently in the book of Romans. It is used in the book of Romans, at least about 14, or 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 times. Which means about 50, nearly 50% of the usage of the word logizomai, if you're taking notes, it's romanized as L-O-G-I-Z-O-M-A-I, logizomai. And of the nearly 20 or 30 times, let's see, about nearly 30 times as used in the New Testament, half of it is used in the book of Romans. So something must be emphasized by Paul. He keeps using logizomai, logizomai. And of all the times that it is used in the book of Romans, of the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 times it's used in the book of Romans, 19, right? Nearly 19 times it's used in the book of Romans, that 11 of those times it occur in one chapter. Very seldom, when you read the Bible or study the Bible, do you have a Greek word occur 11 times in one chapter. It would be very unusual if a Greek word is used so many times. I mean, it would be very unusual if in one sermon that I preach, I use a single word about 1,000 times. Right? You could hear nothing else but that same word in terms of comparison. Here, you have in one chapter, Paul uses that 11 times. Which chapter it is? Romans chapter 4. So let's have a close look at it. Now remember, your English translation keep changing the translation of the same Greek word. So let's read it consistently with the same Greek word, knowing logizomai is a word that means to reckon, to consider. not in the mental state alone, but more something deeper. Now, what we're trying to determine is how deep it is, because it has to do with the cross of Calvary. It has to do with considering ourselves crucified with Christ. There is a mental state involved, of course, but it's beyond that. And Romans chapter 4, have you found it yet? Romans 4. The first occurrence is in verse 3. It starts off with Abraham. Of course, the word logizomai is used about 18, 19 times in the book of Romans, way back from Romans chapter 2. But in Romans 4, it occurs 11 times. So in Romans 4, verse 3, its first occurrence in chapter 4 is verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was logizomai to him for righteousness. Your translations probably put accounted. Am I right? Accounted in most of your translation. Any other words that occur in your translation? Reckon again. Okay. Reckon is coming up. Reckon. And any other words in it? Credited. That's a good word. And the word logizomai is a word that is used sometimes in the Greek as an accounting principle. It's like credit, debit. And so, it would be the word credit. It's an accounting term that they use in the Old Testament, in the old days of the New Testament Greek. And so, for example, you would have credit, debit, right? So they would have logizomai, and I don't know the other word for debit, so let's say logizomai debit. So it would be the word that they use to credit your account, to credit under something. However, it is not financial dealings alone. It is some spiritual dealing. Although there is a mental state like reckon, consider that is used, of us being crucified with Christ, of us being on the cross with Christ, it is a word that is used for a spiritual transaction. They use a financial transaction term and they turn it around for a spiritual transaction. And so, it would be to your account, think about it this way, the word reckon, logizomai, think about it this way. It is like, when you came to know Jesus, God credited your spiritual account with an unlimited resource of spiritual prosperity that can be converted into anything. Why spiritual? Now remember when you talk about spiritual, don't have the idea of the common man on the street. When you talk about something spiritual, they say, yeah, it's something airy, fairy, castles in the air. In the Bible, when we talk about spiritual, all things natural are made of things spiritual. Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 6. For by faith we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now the Word of God is a spiritual substance. Long ago, when science was in its formative stage, a Greek philosopher by the name of Democritus came about with a theory about matter that goes beyond the normal understanding of Archimedes and Plato. Because remember, in those days, it was common in almost all cultures. I know it's true in the Chinese culture, in some of the Indian cultures, and probably in the olden cultures of some countries, that they consider that everything is made up of water, fire, earth, and air. You remember those old philosophies? So they think, they all think, that all substance, including the chair you're sitting on, including your muscles, your bones, is made up of four substances. Like the world is that simple. It's made up of fire, earth, water, and air. And they mix together to form whatever it is. Now, obviously, that is like, you know, trying to say that, a car is just made up of wheels. There's more to a car than wheels, right? There's a whole combustion engine inside that runs the whole thing.